Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Mercy in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
I greet all of you in the words of peace, of assalamu alaikum, and happy Savior's Day. All praise and peace to Allah. Beloved, within days after the minister delivered that message that you just heard from, the Criterion, July 4th, 2020, the United States government changed its strategy for getting the country to take the COVID-19 vaccine, which was still at that time in development. The U.S. government pivoted from threats to an all-out propaganda campaign using black medical and health professionals, educators, politicians, clergy, celebrities, to urge our people to act in opposition to God's will. In December of 2020, the experimental, unapproved mRNA vaccine was deployed, and millions of the American people have since been vaccinated and are being vaccinated as we are meeting. They used monopolization of perception through a 24-hour news cycle. They stoked fear and ignorance. And most of all, they censored any dissenting opinion. We cannot examine and analyze the COVID-19 unapproved experimental vaccine without a knowledge of the climate in which it was produced. In his 2013 series, The Time and What Must Be Done, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan provided extensive documented proof that the policy of the United States government is to rid the earth of the indigenous people. The overarching goal is to cull the population of our planet by 2 to 3 billion. Why? Because white people see their numbers going down and the numbers of the indigenous people, black, red, and brown, going up. In this climate, under this policy, what can we expect from a vaccine that is unlike anything previously made? And our Savior has arrived. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes these words: "The enemies of Allah are working to reduce the population of the planet Earth by means of poisoning the human beings and setting up birth control laws under very wicked devices in order to rid the earth of people according to their idea of controlling the increase of races and the nations of the earth. This is a wicked thing." As reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, as of February the 12th, now today is the 27th, this is as of February 12th, and this Adverse Event Reporting System only receives 1% of the adverse events that are reported, and rather only less than 1% mm-hmm. of the events mm-hmm. are reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event System. So the numbers that you are looking at are less than 1% of the actual numbers that have taken place. 929 dead and 3,126 serious injuries directly from the administration of the mRNA vaccine. The average age of the deceased was the oldest was 77 years old, and the youngest was 23. 52% of the deaths were among men, 45% were women, 3% are unknown. 58% of the deaths with the Pfizer vaccine, 41% from the Moderna vaccine. These 3,126 serious adverse reactions include 34 miscarriages and preterm births, 917 anaphylactic reactions, 70% of which were reported after the Pfizer vaccine and 30% after the Moderna vaccine. Bell's palsy, Pfizer 75%, Moderna 25%. Minister Farrakhan called it death in July, and in December, under the direction and control of the United States government, it in fact began killing people. At this time, beloved, I want to bring up our moderator for this segment of our program, where we are going to go deeper into what exactly is this experimental, unapproved mRNA vaccine. Brother Riza Islam is a member of Muhammad Mosque number 27. He is an independent researcher, international activist, educator, entrepreneur, and author. He has been working in the community for 20 years in multiple areas, from literacy, drug education, exposing human rights violations, abuses in mental health, sex trafficking, police terrorism, and more. In 2015, it was Brother Riza Islam who Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the horrific knowledge of vaccines, whom Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the horrific knowledge of vaccines, particularly the MMR vaccine, was brought to and exposed to student minister Abdul Malik Saeed Muhammad. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the world at the 10-10-15 Justice or Else to over 1.2 billion people in 42 countries. After this, he has been steadfast in his fight as a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to expose the depopulation agenda by the way of vaccines. Please welcome Brother Riza Islam.
Please give our assistant Dr. Ava another round of applause. Please. Thank you so much. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah and Mahdi. I further bear witness that in present time, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ, given power by God to crush the wicked. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine guide, warner, and teacher in what we call the hells of the wilderness of North America. I greet each and every one of you brothers and sisters who are live, watching, and present physically in the greeting words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum. Happy Savior's Day. Happy Savior's Day. Happy Savior's Day. They tried to stop Savior's Day. Is that right? But we meet and overcome all obstacles on our path. Is that right? All praise is due to Allah. In this short time, I'm just going to go over the illegality say illegality. Interesting word when it comes to what people are referring to as vaccines. Number one, we cannot call them vaccines. You understand that? We're going to prove that to those of you who have been watching and those of you who have been lied to for a very long time, and for those of you who are in the medical profession, those of you in the educational field, those of you who are in any area where this topic has been brought up and you, whether you knew it directly or indirectly, have lied to the people. You must be educated and retaught about something that you were specifically weaponized to perpetuate to go towards an ultimate agenda, which is, as our Dr. Ava said beautifully, the depopulation of 2 to 3 billion people on the earth. Emergency use authorization versus FDA approval. An emergency use authorization, or EUA, is a mechanism to facilitate the availability and use of medical countermeasures, including vaccines, during public health emergencies such as the current COVID-19 pandemic. Under an EUA, the FDA, or Food and Drug Administration, may allow the use of unapproved, say unapproved, medical products in an emergency diagnosis or to diagnose, pardon me, to treat or prevent serious or life-threatening diseases or conditions. When certain statutory criteria have been met, including that there are no adequate approved or available alternatives, current use of any of these four agents is authorized under an Emergency Use Authorization Act. Being approved under an emergency use authorization means, quote, the products are investigational and experimental. Only their investigational studies have not been completed, and they are only permitted to be approved because there is no FDA approval alternative. Have we gotten that so far? Do we know what experimental is? Well, for those of you who have not looked up the word when your doctor told you that these were safe and effective, and you may not have known to ask this question, let us look at the definition of the word experimental. Experimental is an adjective meaning of a new invention or product based on untested, say untested, ideas or techniques and not yet established or finalized. Tuskegee had roughly 600 participants. COVID has a lot more. But at this moment, the deaths, as Dr. Ava brought up beautifully from the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, there are roughly 1,000, but that is less than 1% of those reported, which means it is well over that number. But directly, there are more people who have died from receiving these experimental vaccines than those who have participated in the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. More have died within the last 4 months than the 600 that died in 40 years. So this is the COVID experiment. And this is much deeper than Tuskegee ever was. Informed consent of emergency use authorization products. Since an emergency use authorization means the products are investigational and experimental only, products approved for emergency use are prohibited from being mandated. Listen, lawyers and attorneys, those of you who try to say that this can be made mandatory, I need you to look at your United States codes. Products that are approved for emergency use are prohibited from being mandated by federal law, and an individual must consent. Be very mindful, they've been doing a lot of what is called marketing. This is not the pushing of health, not the pushing of medicine. The FDA classifies a vaccine as a drug. Therefore, if I take it into my body on a commercial, I smile and laugh and say, I took it, you should take it too. I have just promoted it to you. Therefore, this is not pushing of health. This is incredibly effective drug marketing. This is drug pushing. They are pushing drugs on you legally, worse than any brother on the corner could ever do. These are the legal drug pushers. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, praise the to Allah. I want to make sure we're not angels here. We know what that is. And they found a way to legally do it while incarcerating us, but it's all bad either way. Individuals to whom the product is administered need to be informed. These are the requirements. So individuals to whom the product is administered are to be informed of the option to accept or to refuse the product. This is what is called informed consent. 21 United States Code 360 BBB-3, authorization for medical products for use in emergencies. Next, the experimental COVID-19 vaccines. The Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and good old Johnson & Johnson. Y'all use the baby powder from Johnson & Johnson when you was growing up? Uh-huh. They got us well with that. The amount of lawsuits that Johnson & Johnson and all these companies have is well over $13 billion collectively. Yet you trust them with something that is going to go directly into your body. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca. Products are not approved by the FDA. Are not approved by the FDA because they are only months old. Now, didn't they say they have new technology that came out? More advanced technology? Yet we still have cancer. Yet you still have Ebola. You still have all these things that you're making all of these pills for because you're managing. You can't cure because if you cure, you have no patients, and therefore you want to remain a patient for life. But you came out with something in less than 10 months for something that just popped on the scene all of a sudden that you say you knew nothing about. We are still dealing with the same devil. The same mentality that existed in 2020 exists today. The same mentality that existed in 1920 exists today. The same mentality that existed in 1820 and all the way back to the caves themselves still exists today. But we have been swindled and we have been lulled back to sleep. Inshallah, we will wake up today. With extremely limited safety and efficacy study, the FDA has properly classified them as experimental. It is literally, legally, chemically classified as of right now as experimental. The soonest the Moderna and Pfizer BioNTech experimental vaccines could be considered by the FDA for full licensure for adults only is when the trials are expected to conclude, which is on October the 27th, 2022, and January 31st, 2023. You are being experimented on as of right now. Lastly, the Nuremberg Code, rule number one, failure to obtain informed consent. To you medical professionals, I recommend you sincerely get in touch with your Lord because the blood will be on your hands and you will have to take responsibility for everyone who you have misled, whether if you knew it or not. You must heed the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The foundational premise of medical ethics is found in the beginning of the Nuremberg Code, which defines informed consent in great detail. The Nuremberg Code spends so much time on informed consent because scientists well know that it is far too easy for a scientist or physician to lead or mislead, inform or misinform, educate or obfuscate. Most laypersons, that will be us, those of us who do not have the letters, the doctorate degrees, this degree, etc. We're laypersons. It is easier to educate or obfuscate most laypersons into consenting per the doctor's preference. This can be for a malevolent reason or just a matter of limited time, information, resources. But it is precisely because the temptation to not inform patients is universal across all times and places that the Nuremberg Code places an enormous emphasis on obtaining it and requires that there is, one, no element of force, say force. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that if you come into our communities and you try to force this vaccine on us, that is a declaration of war. Do you understand what that means? The whole hood heard that. And they are waiting because this is something we will have to fight for our lives against if it is forced. There is to be no element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, coercion, constraint, or sufficient knowledge and comprehension to make an understanding and enlightened decision. Those are the requirements in order for them to sincerely follow what is called the Nuremberg Code. I pray that I have been able in my short moments bring some actual facts to this part of our program, which goes over the illegality side of it, because there are too many people, doctors and medical professionals, who are pushing, whether they know it or not, something that we were taught a very long time ago in something called the supreme wisdom. Before there was a Planned Parenthood, there was Yaku. Before there was an American Birth Control League and eugenics, there was Yaku. And his specific agenda when it came to the duty of the nurse was to prick the brain of the black child in order to kill it or feed it to a wild beast. Well, today in 2021, there are two specific things. You have something called ingestion and injection. When you ingest something, you are eating and or drinking. It goes into what is called your body's defense system, your body's natural security system, your body's post, where it gets checked. And the majority of your immunity is in the gut, so your body has a higher level of defending itself when it is ingested. But if you inject it, it bypasses your body's natural defense mechanism. It bypasses your body's natural system of defense. It bypasses the check post. Somebody done got in. And it destroys the body, climbs up, and goes past the blood-brain barrier and pricks the brain. In 2021, they are still following Yaqub's law. So please make no mistake about it. We have been given the right guidance by the right warner, the right messenger, the right God at the right time. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the man to listen to at this time, and I pray you heed all of his warnings. Assalamu alaikum. All praise is due to Allah. We covered down, is that right? Praise be to Allah. So at this time, I'm going to bring up a video with someone who has been censored heavily after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This video is Dr. Judy Mikovits. How many of you have heard of Dr. Judy Mikovits? Raise your hand. She was silenced and placed under a gag order for 5 years. Threatened by the government, everything in her home was ransacked, and they stated that if you admit and say anything about what you have known, we are going to take you to jail, and that is exactly where she went. But she was able to connect with us and bring the information to us that we need in order to help the people. All praise is due to Allah. One moment here. So Dr. Judy Mikovits, who PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology, has been on a 35-year quest to understand and treat chronic diseases. During that time, she has co-authored seminal papers, culminating at least a decade of research in each of her four fields: immunology, natural products, chemistry, epigenetics, and HIV/AIDS and drug development. She has also co-authored the books Plague, Plague of Corruption, The Case Against Masks, 10 Reasons Why Mask Use Should Be Eliminated, and coming soon, Ending Plague. This is a video, an interview with Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Dr. Judy Mikovits, thank you so much for speaking to me on behalf of the Nation of Islam and for our annual Savior's Day 2021 convention. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Charlene, for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Indeed. So the question I have for you, number one, is what exactly is the mRNA vaccine?
Well, actually, the mRNA inoculation is not a vaccine. It's actually a gene therapy. It's a synthetic piece of RNA from viruses, from SARS-CoV-2 and other viruses, including HIV, which is in and of itself scary. And it is encapsulated in a synthetic lipid nanoparticle that is that contains polyethylene glycol, which is the major component of antifreeze. And so that the lipid particle, the synthetic particle, doesn't break down, because in your immune system, RNA will break down very quickly if exposed to your blood. So this is actually a gene therapy that is injected into, and because it's a nanoparticle, it can go into every cell of the body and release this synthetic gene therapy, which can modify gene expression and is shown really to cause disease. Not the reason I call it not a vaccine is because it does not give any kind of protective immunity or prevent transmission of an infectious agent, not SARS-CoV-2 or any coronavirus. So this is what this shot is. And because of those things I just told you, because it doesn't meet the legal definition of a vaccine, it's actually, and it's being used, has not been FDA approved. It's being used under the emergency use authorization, which means it can't be forced on anyone, and coercion of anyone to participate in an experiment is against the Nuremberg, the International Nuremberg Code for Human Experimentation. And in fact, this shot violates all 10 points of the Nuremberg Code for Human Experimentation.
Thank you. Thank you. And what are the dangers of injecting this, then, mRNA shot?
Yeah, what we are seeing, the dangers of this, particularly for people of color, the black population, the Hispanic population, people in the socioeconomic poor subclasses who have inflammatory diseases, are overweight. This targets fat and people with inflammatory diseases such as the elderly with COPD, rheumatoid arthritis, cardiovascular disease. So the dangers are that they can develop what is called pathogenic priming. And that is that once injected with that shot, if the individual, so when you have an inflammatory disease, you have a flame. The word in the middle is flame. So you've already got a fire going on in your body, in your brain, in tissue, in organ systems. So what happens is you are pathogenically primed. If you've ever been exposed to SARS-CoV-2 or any other coronavirus, which testing shows that many in this country have evidence of infection. So when they get this shot, they're pathogenically primed to expand the fire in an explosive way. So the shot can be like throwing gasoline on a fire. You develop antibody-dependent enhancement. So that means that you've already made an antibody, and that antibody-dependent enhancement means you begin making an autoantibody. It's not a protective antibody, therefore it's not a vaccine, as we just said. So this antibody-dependent enhancement is like literally throwing gasoline on the fire, and you begin attacking your own tissues, which is the definition of autoimmunity. So you don't protect your own tissues, you attack your own tissues. This is particularly dangerous for athletes, because they football players, hockey players, the military, who already have undergone trauma and had many vaccines, because influenza inoculations contain other animal coronaviruses. So they're already pathogenically primed, and we knew this in a very large study by a Dr. Wolf last year. I believe it was Greg Wolf. And this paper in the military showed that, in fact, getting the influenza vaccine could drive you to get COVID-19 and increase by 36%, by one-third your possibility of getting a SARS-CoV-2 infection. So now you will be pathogenically primed, and the next time you see that virus and you won't know it, you can literally die of cardiac arrest or any or inflammatory diseases on the spot. And that's what we are seeing in nursing homes, in the elderly. None of these people were tested in the clinical trial. Healthy people were tested, and yet this was rolled out, if you will, to the mentally disabled who already have inflammatory trauma in their brain, psychosis, ADHD, obsessive compulsive disorder, autism, any kind of seizure disorder. And it can be absolutely deadly for the population that they're using it in right now.
Wow. Thank you. My next question, it is being said that, quote, herd immunity, unquote, will be achieved when nearly the entire population is vaccinated, right, Dr. Judy? Isn't herd immunity a natural process? And what exactly is herd immunity?
Herd immunity is a natural process whereby if a community has been exposed to the virus, already to a virus or an infectious disease, already has developed immunity to that disease, developed an antibody, neutralizing antibodies, they've already gotten sick and they've gotten well, then they can't pass the disease on. And in most cases, they can't pass the infection on. So that's the definition of herd immunity, such that, and in fact, the World Health Organization this year changed the definition of herd immunity from a natural infection to say that only those vaccinated can develop herd immunity. And again, this is under the designation really of criminal fraud, deceptive practices. In fact, because these gene therapies, these inoculations are not vaccines, there is absolutely no way they can develop herd immunity. What they will do is sicken and even kill a significant part of the population, and such that, it has nothing to do with herd immunity. In fact, as I was watching Dr. David E. Martin yesterday, COVID-19 is not even a disease. So you can't develop herd immunity to an infection that doesn't cause a disease. So COVID-19 is a series of clinical symptoms, fevers, aches, muscle pain, lung radiologic damage, that have all been redefined now by our Centers for Disease Controls as PIC. Pneumonia, influenza, and coronaviruses, the flu. Now, there used to only be, the CDC would categorize all of these under the term flu, pneumonia, any upper respiratory infection from any cause. And this year, they've simply added coronaviruses, called it all COVID-19. So that's just a clinical set of symptoms. They tried to make the causal statement, but most of the people testing positive have no clinical presentation, as you know. They're called asymptomatic carriers. So you cannot make a causal statement because most of the people that have that fragment of SARS-CoV-2, again, the PCR test does not measure infectious transmissible virus. It measures a fragment of the RNA, the very same fragment that is in the inoculation, in the gene therapy. So if they're not sick and never before have had infectious virus, then there is no disease. So you can't develop herd immunity to an infectious agent, which isn't spreading through the world naturally, and is only a fragment of that virus expressed in the inoculation. It's the vaccine is not like normal vaccines. The traditional vaccines are a weakened or attenuated virus, like the flu vaccines. They're influenza A, influenza B, and usually another strain that is prevalent that season. They're weakened such that you only get a little sick and you develop that that protective immunity and prevent transmission. So vaccines can temporarily develop herd immunity, meaning from acute infection of the latest strains, but only a natural infection with a natural RNA virus has ever developed lifelong immunity. And the example of that is measles. I've had a natural measles infection. I have lifelong immunity. We're all exposed to coronaviruses every year. That's why most of us, when exposed to SARS-CoV-2, have no symptoms whatsoever, and by definition, COVID-19 is not a disease, and SARS-CoV-2 is not a causative agent.
Dr. Judy, thank you so much. Would you like to add anything?
Just that it's really my honor to speak for the Nation of Islam. It's been reported that the black community is 2 to 4 times more susceptible to this infection and this disease, and therefore this vaccine is good for them, and that, you know, our world and our government is trying to help you in particular, and nothing could be further from the truth. And I'm just saddened that the people are being deceived in this manner, so by these deceptive practices, which are actually against the Federal Trade Commission. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to educate the nation.
Thank you. It is our pleasure, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon, Dr. Judy Mikovits. Have a great day.
You too, Charlene. Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
Wow.
It takes bravery to stand on truth and hurl truth at falsehood until we knock out its brains. This is not an easy thing, but again, let us give her another round of applause. That is a very big deal. We are now going to go into the next area here. Some of you may have heard about the incentives that they have been giving people. They have been offering some people chicken. Brother Minister, oh man, they've been offering people money, two, maybe four piece. They've been offering people money, $125 from Publix, $125. They went as low as offering people weed and a project called Joints for Jabs in D.C. Who are they targeting? This is a recipe, black, brown, and the poor, is that right? Because let us make it very clear, they don't care about their poor white cousins either. Is that right? They will do what they need to do because they follow their instructions and they have a goal. So we're going to go into an area that covers those areas as well as the audio from, have you heard of the sister by the name of Kizmikia Corbett, a.k.a. Kizzy Corbett, who was a scientist, a young sister in her mid-30s, who is the face that they're putting out there saying, well, she created it. She's the scientist. You know what they're doing.
Come on.
You know what they're doing. They used, who was it? Who was it that they used, Brother Minister, back in Tuskegee? What was the sister's name? Eunice Rivers. They will use what it is that we love against us. The image of it, at least, to suck us in to accomplish their goal. So we're now going to go into the audio from Kizmikia Corbett admitting some very startling information directly from her mouth, and from there, the deaths and injuries videos, the incentives, etc.
What I can say is that emergency use authorization is still experimental. It's still an experimental phase. These emergency use authorizations are simply asking the FDA, with what we have right now, can this product be used in the most vulnerable of populations while we continue to gather data that would allow us to license it for everyone? What I can say is that emergency use authorization is still experimental. It's still an experimental phase. These emergency use authorizations are simply asking the FDA, with what we have right now, can this product be used in the most vulnerable of populations while we continue to gather data that would allow us to license it for everyone? As scientists and physicians and vaccine developers and et cetera, is to understand that the onus of this problem is not on them and their distrust. It is on us and our level of trustworthiness. As scientists and
there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information.
She could bellow from the bottom of her soul.
58-year-old Gloucester resident Drenae Keys was a gifted singer, a mother, and grandmother of six.
She was also such a loving and generous person.
Unexpectedly, Lisa Jones lost her mother on Saturday, within a couple of hours after she received the Pfizer vaccine in Warsaw. Keys had diabetes, sleep apnea, and was obese, but her job made her eligible for the first dose. She got the Pfizer vaccine and spent 15 minutes in the mandatory observation period.
They tried to remove fluid from her lungs. They called it flash pulmonary edema.
Anaphylaxis is a severe, adverse, life-threatening allergic reaction that rarely occurs after vaccination.
My mom, she just was wanting to protect herself, and it did not turn out that way.
Dr. Williams, an orthopedic surgeon for Ortho South, died February 8th of multi-system inflammatory syndrome, or MIS, a condition usually affecting children, attacking the immune system.
Of a former Detroit anchor and media executive brought loved ones and colleagues together today to honor her contributions to the city. CW50's Chris Walker shows us how she's being remembered.
She was just a beautiful person. I mean, it's such a huge loss for this community.
The Detroit media icon was found dead at her home last Tuesday by her husband just one day after taking the COVID-19 vaccine, but the official cause of her death is still unknown.
We suspect it may have just been a stroke, but because of the normal side effects of the vaccine, it may have masked that.
And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're
COVID
getting.
The COVID vaccine, the Moderna, on January the 4th. On Tuesday, I had mild flu-like symptoms. I went to work. Stomach pains and diarrhea, some you know, on Tuesday, normal flu-like symptoms. Wednesday, I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't able to go to work. My tongue began to spasm out of control. By Thursday morning, I was in full-body convulsions.
So we have never studied. So we have never studied. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. And we are finding that the viruses and the bacteria that we're injecting into the body, along with the adjuvants, create something called molecular mimicry, which means the body sees those viruses thinking that it's foreign, but actually finds pieces of those viruses that match pieces of the self. And the immune system doesn't differentiate between what it's been told to reject and itself. So it will turn the immune system on itself, leading to an autoimmune condition. We know this about hepatitis B. We know it about the Gardasil vaccine. And we know it about the flu vaccine. And we continue to say unequivocally that the vaccines have been studied effectively and that they're safe. And that's just not true. That there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see.
Can your employer legally require you to get a COVID-19 vaccine?
Many of my clients who are struggling with this issue have said, well, while we think it's a good idea to make it mandatory, we are going to make it voluntary, but we're going to try to offer economic incentives, bonuses, as well as paying for the vaccination and offering optionally, if the family wants to have the vaccination, to pay for that too.
Trader Joe's, Instacart, and Dollar General are all paying their employees to get the coronavirus vaccine. Instacart says it will pay workers $25 for compensation. Dollar General will give the equivalent of 4 hours paid to employees who get the shot.
Every state in the country except for Montana has this legal regime which employment relationships are considered to be at will, which means if you're an employer in the private sector and your workforce isn't unionized, under the at will employment doctrine, an employer can fire a worker for any legal reason. So generally speaking, that gives them the authority to require their workers to take a vaccine. But there are exceptions to that.
In normal times, a vaccine follows a strict approval process, from non-clinical testing to clinical trials to FDA approval and manufacturing. This process can take years. But these, of course, are not normal times. All COVID vaccines have been approved under what's called an emergency use authorization. This is an expedited process that the FDA can use during public health emergencies. Employment lawyers are split over whether that's an obstacle for businesses that want to require their employees get vaccinated before a vaccine gets full FDA approval.
An emergency use authorization is not a license. So there is a legal question as to whether you can mandate an emergency observation. Mandatory vaccination protocols, therefore, may have to wait until the FDA completes the entire approval process for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine.
So I've spoken to some employment lawyers who have told me that whether it comes from the emergency use authorization or whether it comes from the full approval process, it's the same thing. So employers are relatively clear to impose mandates. But I've also heard from a few lawyers that say it's more complicated than that. The law here is very unclear. So I do think that this is something that will eventually get tested in court.
The bottom line is that depending on the state, a worker who's fired for not getting vaccinated may be able to challenge the termination if the vaccine became available through the emergency use authorization.
So there's several clear and established exceptions to an employer's authority to impose something like vaccine mandate. One of those are for health-related reasons. So under the Americans with Disabilities Act, an employer is required to provide reasonable accommodation for a disability.
So health is one. Exception number two, religion.
The way the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission defines religion, it's not just faith in a god or membership in an established church. It's a sincerely held moral or ethical belief. So that sort of person would have an opportunity to ask for a religious accommodation.
My name is Andrew Kaufman. I'm a medical doctor and board-certified forensic